Well, this morning is Father's Day. How many know it's Father's Day? How many fathers do we have out here? All right, we got John and Tony and Terry, I know for sure. Mike's got some kids. And so praise the Lord for the fathers in our midst. Amen. And the men, all the men, and our mothers as well. How many know that without fathers, we're not going to have any children? How many know without mothers, we're not going to have any children? Amen. It takes both, doesn't it? It takes a father and a mother, and that's God's design. That's really God's design. And that's, it's never, I mean, on this earth, I'm not going to say it's, you know, how many people got the perfect father, the perfect mother? No. But when we seek the Lord, we have one perfect Father. When we come to God, we have one perfect Father, and that's our Father God. And this morning, I want to talk about a few attributes of God as Father. What are some of His attributes? We've already talked about one, that He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, in other words, the Lord will provide. And that was in Genesis 22, where Abraham, remember when Abraham had to take Isaac and go up the mountain, and God had finally given Abraham and Isaac their son, and they had been raising him. And I'm not exactly sure how old he was. There's a lot of debate about that, but he was probably 17 or 18 years old at least. And or at least 13 for sure, but he knew what they were doing. They were going up the mountain to sacrifice. And Abraham, the lad, and I will be right back. Abraham was confident that he would come back. Yet, on the way up, the son asked the father, you know, they've got the wood, they have to bring some things with them, and as they're going up the mountain, Father, where is the sacrifice that we're going to sacrifice? And he said, God will provide himself a lamb. How many know that was depicting more than one thing? Yes, God was going to provide for us when we get up there, son, but he's also going to provide himself as the Lamb of God, ultimately be the provision for the sin of the world. And so we've already talked about that a little bit. But there are attributes, and when we first meet God, or when you or I have, for me, I was 10 years old. I've talked about it a little bit. I remember being 9 years old, and I went to Sunday school class. And they told me God knows everything. He even knows what you'll do before you're doing it. Because in His foreknowledge, He knows everything. And I couldn't understand why he wouldn't stop me from doing something wrong. I remember that little battle in my brain. I thought, well, if he knows I'm going to say a dirty word, why doesn't he stop me? So my mother does not wash my mouth out with soap. I don't like that, you know. Thank God for mothers that wash the mouth out with soap. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Hallelujah. And fathers. Amen. It's not a good taste in your mouth. You learn some things and learn to control the tongue a little bit more. But that's just self-control. But the reason is because God had not yet, what? Changed my heart. I was not yet born again. I had not received God as my Father. I had not said, Jesus be Lord of my life. But since that day, when I was 10, I remember so clearly. I had, I believe, you know, confessed the Lord, but it really became clear to me. I remember we memorized that scripture, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And somehow in my heart, it resonated with me, and there was a warmth on the inside. I thought, yeah, I've been changed. Woo, glory to God. You know, it didn't mean that every temptation was gone, but the desire to do what was right. And righteousness, living on the inside, begins pushing out all the things that are not of God. And since that day, the Lord Almighty is my Abba Father. How many have Him, that He is your Abba Father? When you accepted Christ as Savior, God's gift of salvation came in. Amen. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. How many people, your heart cries out, Abba, Father, or if you really looked it up, Daddy God. And sometimes I say, oh, Papa, He's my daddy. He's my Papa. He's the one that birthed me in my spiritual man. He's the one that adopted me and you as sons. We become His very own child. And I know we've talked about that here, but how many know this is one of the attributes of God? He is the one that accepts and adopts us as His own. We become one with Him on the inside man. Now, if I slow down a little bit today, it's okay. If I don't share every scripture, it's all right. I want us to get something today and realize some of us need to understand. And we do. Most of you have probably listened to the Born Again Trail, like Ellen said, two or three times, which is from Pastor Dave. Some of you haven't heard any of it. But even if you've heard it, how many know we're all human? And we all have to remind ourselves that we belong to a Father that has adopted us. We've been born from above. Our nature was changed from darkness to light. And we can now cry out, what? Abba, Father of my spirit. Oh, Father, He is like a father. That's a big fancy name that sometimes great, theologians use, an anthropomorphism. In other words, it's a way in which we can understand how God is. He is like a father to us. He has accepted us. And I know some of you that are listening today, maybe your father wasn't perfect. There's no earthly father that was perfect. I know that. But maybe your father was well on the other side. Maybe even if he was born again, he didn't act like it. I've had different relationship with my father. It wasn't perfect by far. There are many times that my father, He didn't always know how to control his emotions like maybe an adult should. And as a child, I felt as though, he liked to yell a lot. We worked together. You gotta understand, when you work with someone, they're your boss, right? So my dad's my boss, and he tells me what to do. But many times that he would just expect me to know how to do things, and I would just have to kind of figure it out. He wasn't a great teacher. I mean, he might show me once, maybe a couple of times. I don't really remember any times, but I just remember I was about 11, I guess, or 12. And at that time, in the summertime, mostly I worked almost full time. I know that's a lot. You say, well, that's child labor, almost. Almost. I mean, don't get me wrong. My dad was good, and it was age appropriate and so forth, and there was days I took off to go to camp and all those things. But we were expected to work in our house. Amen. I'm thankful for it. I really am. I learned a lot of good things working. But at the same time, it wasn't all perfect. And I felt, I never felt approved by my earthly father. But you know what brought me freedom? When I found out my heavenly father, He approves of me. And I may never Never. I'm not saying my dad didn't approve of me, but I never was able to receive that approval, or I don't remember hearing it. See, I believe the enemy works on two sides. Those that cause pain sometimes to us, and they shouldn't. But then there's also the way we hear it. Amen. And he brings lies to you as well, see. Well, you must not be good enough. Somebody out there is thinking right now, there's a man out there and you're saying, I don't feel like I do anything right. I'm not good enough. I should be farther along in life. I should have this or that or the other. And the enemy comes and he brings what we call strongholds into our life. Ways and patterns of thinking that are not like God. You see, we have a Father in heaven that has adopted us as his own, and he decided to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there for a minute. Because I want us to understand we are not our own. We've been adopted by our Father, and it was his pleasure to accept you as a son, a daughter of God, a son of God. Some of you ladies say, well, yes, you can be sons. Us men can be part of the bride, so you can be sons also, or daughters of God. We are children of God, born of God. Now, not everybody, just for a minute, let me give the disclaimer, because not everybody in the world is a child of God. I remember going by a billboard. Love people, we're all God's children. No, we're all God's creation. But we're not all God's children. God's children are those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then we're adopted into his family. He paid the price for people to be adopted. How many know that? He paid the price for all sin. Nevertheless, each person must choose by faith to receive that into their life. And if they have not, then they're not yet the child of God. Amen. Amen. God has not yet moved in to their life and changed their spirit from darkness to light. They're still in darkness. And until we say, Jesus, be Lord of my life, you're not born again. You may go to a church. You may sit in a church. You may even say, praise the Lord once in a while. But if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, I remember that James Robinson's wife talked about that she was a Sunday school teacher. She sang in the choir. But she said, you know, I had never really personally invited Jesus as my Lord. And one day, here she was singing in the choir. She said, I walked out from the choir and I bowed my knee to receive Jesus, because I realized, have I personally, you know, I'm doing all these works for God. How many know sometimes you can do good works? You can be a good person, but it doesn't save us. We must have that shed blood. And she said she walked out of the choir and bowed her knee at the altar and said, Jesus, I want to be born again. But we're going to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We're going there because we're talking about the adopted process here. He gave himself with great pleasure. Verse 5. Well, let's just start at 3. Ephesians 1, 3. It's hard to just start at one verse because we know we want to try to get a little context. But it says here, Paul is greeting the Ephesians, and it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined or predetermined or we could say decided in advance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He said, I want to do this. It brings me, God is saying, it brings me pleasure to adopt you as my sons, to the praise, it says, verse 6, of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. If you don't believe that you are accepted this morning, there's good news from on high. Our Father has accepted you, and you are accepted as a son in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. This is good news. It brings pleasure to our Father. He wanted to adopt you. He wants everyone to be adopted into his family. And he wants us to help find those that need him. This sin is not the problem, but when we can get people to Jesus, how many know the heart is changed? Hallelujah. And they are changed, and then they want to serve God. Hallelujah. Because we're in him, it says, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God abounds toward us. He said, I want to pour it on. Hallelujah. Whoo! I bring those things. And that's the first thing we're looking at. Having that place. In Romans 8:15, how many know our wonderful, great chapter of Romans 8? It is a marvelous chapter. If you haven't studied it, I invite you to do so. Read it over and over again, asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Because this is a vital part of us walking with God, is understanding that we are his sons. When we can understand that we've got a Father that has adopted us. Hallelujah. Romans 8:15 says this. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Oh, hallelujah. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Again, we see that word. Abba, Father, an endearment to God. God, you're my daddy. God, you have birthed me. God, you have accepted me. I am your son. Being a son of the living God. Some of us, you know, maybe your earthly father wasn't right. And everything wasn't perfect. How many know our heavenly Father? He's the one that comes and cleanses us from all those things, and he can begin to show us and walk us into a place where we understand full acceptance and freedom from that fear that may have held us in bondage. We weren't given that fear of bondage again. See, they were under the fear, what, of sin again. They had a sin consciousness under the old covenant, under the Old Testament. They brought the sacrifice once a year and their sins were covered, but they were not yet washed away. They're only through the blood of Jesus, that which is what we read over in Ephesians. That is what redeemed us or purchased us back to God, to the original state that he intended for man, which was sonship with God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just say I am a son of God. Amen. I've been born again. I'm changed. I'm not the same. I am a son. Oh, thank you, Father. See, when we understand who the Father is, We talked about this when we were talking about faith. It's not just knowing what God said, but knowing who God is. He is a God, a Father who adopts us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And of course, we saw there in Galatians 4, 6, and because we're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we see that number one, God is a Father that wants us to be sons of His, that it brings pleasure to Him. He's a Father who is pleased to call you a son, a daughter. He loves you. Hallelujah. And that's the next thing that I have on here. We have a Father that loves us. Let's go to 1 John. I like 1 John a lot. Sometimes people think it's all about love, but it's really more than that. It's about understanding being born again and not born again, really. John breaks it down and he said, these are the truths. Hallelujah. But it does talk a lot about the love of God. I remember one guy said he had been reading through 1 John. He said, if I read about love one more time. But we need to know about love because God is love. Remember something about God. He doesn't have love. He is love. That means He can be nothing else. He's a Father that even while we were still, sinners, He died for us. And if you're facing something in your life where there is a struggle, God has not given up on you. He will not relax His hold on you. He will walk with you to deliver you to the place where you can understand, my Father is so good. He loves me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Here we are. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God or children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. But it says now, but beloved, verse 2, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Now I believe, yes, there'll be a day when Jesus comes back and we'll see Him as He is. But you know what? When we look into this Word of God, we see Him as He is right now. As He is in us, as He is to us, and as He wants to be coming out through us. We begin to see Him as He is even now. How many know we are His sons? And His sons, then the Bible says, heirs and joint heirs with them. That means everything that Jesus had in His earth walk, we can have in our earth walk. Amen. That means we can have freedom of that fear, freedom, peace of mind that passes the understanding. How many know? You see, the enemy tries to come to bring torment. And he's going to use those things that those, anybody ever have those videos that played over and over in your mind? You know, yeah, that one. Ah, you think you're somebody, huh? You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be accepted. But the fact is, I already am. And we can exchange we can exchange the lie that the enemy tells for the truth of God's word. And as we allow it to become a part of who we are, and we begin to understand that our Father loves me, what? Not just a little bit. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of the living God. And right now, not tomorrow, not when you get to heaven. I know some people believe that. You know, they think, well, someday when heaven comes, then I'll be a son. No, you have become a son of the living God from the inside out, created in true righteousness and holiness, just like Jesus is. And that holiness and righteousness works on the inside of you as you fellowship with Him. And it begins to push out everything that's not of Him. You do not have to be controlled by sin or the enemy's tactics any longer. You are a free individual, and you can walk out your freedom in a relationship with a Father that accepts you and loves you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's good news in the house tonight. How many are seeing who your Heavenly Father is afresh and new? You say, well, sometimes we do know these things, but how many know there's a difference between knowing the truth and walking in the truth? We mentioned that a little bit last week, that we are to what? Walk before Him. Not that means, I'm not talking about how we step. You know, do you take small steps or do you take large steps? No, we're talking about a lifestyle, a manner of living. How do we live with Him? He said, what, that we would walk or live humbly with our God. And this is how we do when we begin to see who our Father is to us and who we are in Him. Yes, in God and in His Son, Christ Jesus, who was what? The representative of who God is and showed us the truth of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, there's several other scriptures here on the love, but let's look here in chapter 4, and just I want to read a good little passage here in chapter 4 of 1 John. 1 John is, I think it's one of the greatest books that we have. You got to understand, John outlived Paul by quite a few years. Paul passed away. John was still alive at least 20, 30 years. And he's still being faithful to what God, to the teachings that Jesus had given him. And here he's preaching again. This is, he's probably, maybe he wrote, I don't remember exactly. You know, he wrote this as one of the last books. We got to understand, John lived a long time. He was at least 100. And so he was serving God for at least 50, 60, 70 years here. And so it is something that is worth reading. John was faithful to the end. They tried to kill him a few times, as history says. I'm not, the Bible doesn't say, but I mean, does say they banned him to the Isle of Patmos. Does say they tried to boil him in oil, it's my understanding, and he didn't die. How many know oil can get pretty hot? Didn't bother him. Hallelujah. He knew something about the love of God. See, there's a protection in knowing that God loves me. Yes, you know, the thing is, many times we fail, and the enemy wants to say, you failed again, you did it again, you bad, dirty creep. What's wrong with you? Why can't you get it together? Anybody ever heard that voice? I've heard that voice. What's wrong with you? There's not something wrong with you. There's a flesh man and perhaps a stronghold of thinking that has come to our mind that is empowered with an emotion, but it can be torn down because our weapons are not carnal. And we'll get there in a minute. Our weapons are not carnal. We have the living Word of God that is truth and supersedes things that may look like they're facts in your life, and they are subject to change. And they will come down. But we have to say, hey, what is the biggest problem in me? I've got to have my spirit man strengthened. One of the biggest problems in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is weak spirits. We've got blown up mind and a little bitty spirit. Big old flesh, a little bitty spirit. I ate last Sunday and that was just enough. You know, a Sunday morning. You know, it used to be, see, when I was a child, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer night. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying we have to have all of that. We do have to have prayer in our life. We don't have to always gather at the church to pray. I hope you know that. Right? How many of you got a good prayer life going or getting started anyway? If you haven't, let's get it started. Amen. Like I say, if you're just starting to pray, at least try to get that first hour in tongues. Amen. Get an hour a day. Start there. Or work yourself to there. You know, I know a guy started out. He couldn't pray more than 15 minutes. He'd just be wore out. Prayed 15 minutes every day. And then it was 30 minutes, and then it was 45, and then it was an hour, and then it was 2 hours. And it continued to build. And we can continue to press forward in God. It's not about where we are right now. It is about making progress and growing with God and doing what really works to grow with the Father. To begin to understand the love of the Father. That's why we pray in the Holy Spirit. Because He knows how to get that truth across to our spiritual man where we can understand the things of God. Because as a son, as a born-again believer, we can understand the love of God in our heart. We can begin to experience it. How many know? Times of worship begins to grow that love in your heart and set you free from many torments of the mind. Because we get our mind renewed. We get it stopped where we can pray and begin to seek God. And then, of course, taking the Word of God, which is what we're doing. I'm getting there. Sorry. I did say 1 John 4. I hope you found it by now. If not, ask your neighbor. Hallelujah. But 1 John 4, 7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That just means He paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sin. Hallelujah. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but the perfect love, this perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So here's quite a longer passage, but let's just see. It says, if the love of God is in us, then we're going to let it out. It's going to change us. Amen. If we've been born again. If we're truly born again. How many know when somebody gets born again, it changes your life? You begin to see people differently. You begin to love. Amen. Why? Because love moved in. We received a love nature from a God of love. You said, well, I didn't immediately. Well, maybe not immediately, but love began to come forward in your life because it was poured forth into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the law of God is written in our heart. And if we're walking in love, we're going to be walking, what, in truth with our neighbor. We're not going to be bound by that fear and torment doesn't have to control our life anymore. When we realize, hey, my Father loves me. My Father has accepted me. My Father has forgiven me. I've got a Father. These are His attributes. He has determined that He is going to allow us to walk like Jesus walked. In other words, Jesus, if you remember, He was born, we've said this 100 times, but He's born what? Of the Virgin Mary. God was His Father. His blood was not tainted with sin because it came from God Almighty. That doesn't mean that He was automatically going to live perfectly because He came as a baby. You know, He could have came as a full-grown man. Why didn't God just make Him full-grown? You know, He could have had, you know, full-grown body for Him. But no, He wanted to fully identify with man in every area of life. And the Bible says when He had fulfilled the law, what? As a man. Why? He humbled Himself. Philippians 2, we talked about that many times. He emptied Himself of all of His deity powers and became a man and became even a servant as a man. That He might what? Win and save the world to fulfill the purpose of God in the earth. He said, I'm going down there, God, Father, and I am going to allow myself to be tempted in every way, and I will not sin, that there may be a man for every man. How many know? Like kind. To produce like kind, it's in the earth. If you put corn in the earth, it comes up what? Corn. You don't get potatoes, do you? You don't get tomatoes. You get corn. I've got some tomato plants over here, and they never brought me peppers, ever. They always produce tomatoes. I mean, it's just, it's a law. It's a natural law that God put into motion from the beginning. And when God sent His Son, He produced in us. Boom, a son can now be born through faith in Jesus Christ. And as sons, we are loved of Him and we are accepted by Him. And of course, we are forgiven by Him. And let's look at that real quick, because we got a Father that has accepted us, adopted us, first of all, as sons, right? Adopted us. He's loved us to the nth degree. He's given His all. It said here in this 1 John chapter 4, 7 through the end, really, 21. We could keep reading, but Jesus was that sacrifice, and we know that. But as sons, we have that place and the forgiveness of God. Psalm 103:12. Many of us know this scripture, but it says, as far as the east is, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far is removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And we already read there, that in Hebrews 8:12, He tells us that He will remember our sin, what, no more. Some of you say, well, I don't know if God, you know, we receive God's forgiveness, but do we really realize how complete and thorough He does? job he does. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8:12. It does us good to look at some of these things many times, because when we can understand who our Father is, He's being merciful. He paid that price. He took us as sons. He accepted us. He loves us. He forgives me. Amen. Hebrews, what did I say? 8:12, verse 12, yeah. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Woo-wee. Glory to God. How many know? Do you understand forgiveness? When someone can know that they're forgiven, the freedom that comes, the release, the pressure that's relieved. I don't know if you've ever needed forgiveness, but I have. You know, and sometimes, you know, we know that God forgives us. But how many know sometimes the Bible says there are sins that follow us? Why? Because we can't change it. We can't change it in the natural. But we can receive the forgiveness of our Father. And sometimes even man doesn't forgive. But you know what? God supersedes, and we can forgive man. We can say, Father, I receive your forgiveness for that act. I know a guy I used to work with, and I really liked him, and we would talk, and I was trying to get him to come to the Lord, and he would say, you don't understand what I've done. Done some terrible things. And sometimes people have done terrible things, but how many know the blood of Jesus is more than enough? In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, I know many people know that scripture, but he says, let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, what are they going to be? White as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is what the Lord says. Let me read the whole verse here. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And all of us have seen the snow this last winter, how white it is, amen? Covers everything, and all the darkness disappears, and all the dirt disappears, right? It's white as snow. So though they be like crimson, maybe, you know, they're showing out. He said they'll be like wool. And we know how white the wool is, amen? Hallelujah. They bring that wool in, and how clean and pure the Father makes us. And even if you have been saved and you said, well, I missed the mark, I done that first, what we know that 1 John 1:9 says that if we what? Confess. Yes, Father, I admit it, Lord, it was wrong. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have done that thing. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a good thing to understand our Father. Hallelujah. I've got more things here, but I'm going to stop there for today. We're coming down on our time. But these three things, we realize our Father has adopted us as His own. He treats us like sons and daughters. Amen. He accepts us. He wraps His arms around us no matter what we have done, no matter what has happened to us, no matter how dirty we might feel or guilty we may feel or how wonderful we may think we are. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe that's not your issue, praise the Lord. Most people it's not, but some. You know, the Bible says one thing we have to deal with, sometimes the pride of life. I know one guy, he was saying, oh, I just didn't, you know, I was just so great and so wonderful and always popular, always accepted, always, you know, I knew I was great. How many know only Jesus is the one that's great, amen? We are great in Him. We become great in Him. It's not about how great we are or how unrighteous we may feel. What it's about accepting what the blood of Jesus has done and what He has said and who we are, that we are accepted and that we are forgiven. Not remembering the sin anymore. Glory to God. And we can walk now, what? As sons. Filled up with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth of Your word, and that no matter where we are today, that we can always learn things when we know You. When we understand our Father has made us a son. Our Father has accepted us, and our Father has forgiven us. And Lord, You are willing to walk with us and not give up on us. You never leave us or forsake us, Lord. Sometimes we face emotional battles within our fleshly man. And some people face things today. They're hearing the wrong words, Father. They're hearing the wrong thing. The lies of the enemy seem to ring from within. And Lord, You said You've come. Maybe their heart's been broken. Maybe they've lost trust. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a lost business deal. Lord, maybe it was a father who wasn't there or misrepresented what a father should be, Lord, and there was abuse and there was trauma. Lord, we pray for them today. If that's you out there and you want prayer, just let us know. Michelle, wave at me here if anybody wants prayer in that area. I want to pray if you're here today, maybe you struggle in some things. I want you to know God still loves you. He hasn't given up on you. It doesn't mean that you're dirty trash. It doesn't mean that there's no hope, because we can all be changed. We've been changed, but sometimes we have to walk out our freedom. And if you're struggling today, I want to pray for you. Anybody here at all, especially men, you know, maybe I'm not trying to bring any bad memories to anybody or anything like that. But see, in my case, there are areas in my life that I'm so thankful where the Father came and talked to me. And I look back today and I remember that incident, but to me, it's like it happened to somebody else. There's no pain there. There's no fear. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's just peace. Knowing that my Father loves me. He's come into those areas of our life. And because God is timeless, He can pour in the oil and the wine, and He can cause us to die to those feelings and to live in Him, into the love and acceptance of our Father. And sometimes there's a process involved, yes. We have to take the Word of God when we see these things. That's what our purpose is, as we pray in the Holy Spirit, as we meditate on the Word of God and read the Word of God and meditate on it, think about it, right? Amen. And we speak the truth of what God's Word says, bringing differences to us. Hallelujah. And bringing the truth to us, really. We speak the truth. We agree with what God said. And then we worship God, amen? We worship Him for who He is. And we let the stillness come to our mind. We still the avenger of our soul in that worship. And, of course, many times, you know, there's also that fasting that we all love so much. But we do love it. Our spirit is good for our heart and our spirit in it. Shuts the fleshly part of us down and allows us to hear from heaven and allow our faith to rise even greater and to receive things from the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you're here today and you want prayer for that, maybe it's just the beginning You know, we can do that. God will bring grace for you to walk through. To walk through that thing, whatever it is. We don't ignore it in our life, but we don't say it can stay. Amen? We walk through those strongholds. We walk through the feelings that the enemy brings or the emotions he brings. And we walk into a place of peace and freedom. And we bring forth Jesus because he comes into that situation. He wants to walk with you right there. Yeah, right there where it hurts. That pain in our heart, that pain, that area that we don't want to look at. Amen. There's areas sometimes we don't want to look in there. We close that room off, but that's what praying in the Holy Ghost does. It begins to shine the light in there, and we begin to see it. And if we ignore it, it'll stay there. Did you know that? If you don't do anything, it's not going to change. You'll be that way next year and the next. Yeah, but I've been praying in tongues. Well, that's good. The purpose of your praying in tongues was for God to show you, so he could help you to get it out of your life. He could strengthen you. He's already made you stronger than that thing because he built you up. And he showed it to you, and you're going to axe it out of your life now. But if you make the choice to hold on to it, he can't help you. He can't really help you. I mean, he'll do all he can. And if you'll keep praying, he'll bring it back around to you. Amen. Sometimes that's why people don't want to pray more, because they don't want to deal with what God's talking to them about. Oh, boy. Now, Brother Doug, I thought you were just going to pray for people, but I am. But I want you to understand, the enemy doesn't play fair either, see? The flesh doesn't play fair. The flesh cannot be trusted. And sometimes we've got to treat it roughly and say, no, I'm going to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm getting some amen head shakes here today. Hallelujah. So anybody, let's pray. I'm going to pray for everybody in general. The grace of God is available. He said that if we'll come boldly to the throne of grace, how many know we will receive mercy and grace to help in time of trouble? Amen. To help us to go through. See, grace is God's divine influence in our heart. It's exchanging our weakness for his strength, his empowerment that comes. Amen. Grace to help you pray. Grace to help you confess the word of God. Grace to help you, to help us to change. Him coming alongside and bringing that grace allows it to come forth that much easier. Amen. If you want to receive some of that today, prayer's available. Come on down right now. The anointing of God is already present. It's here right now. Amen. To bring a change and a starting. If you're already walking through some things, that's all right. We'll pray again. Hallelujah. How many, God gives more grace to the humble, right? When we humble ourselves before him. Hallelujah. We've got one person that wants prayer, okay? And out there, let me pray for everybody. I'll pray for everybody in just a second. If you're watching with us, just stretch out your hand this way. Stay with us. Don't leave us right now. Hang on just a little bit longer. We'll be done. And Father, we release, Lord, grace for the change. Grace to do the things that are necessary. Grace to press in. Grace to draw near. In Jesus' name, freedom from all fear. Yes. Fear, you stop. You desist in your maneuvers, I say. Go from this mind and this body this day. Now I say the grace of God is released in you. Draw near, draw near. I want to show you fresh and new things that I'm going to change in you. Oh, stand strong and do not fear. Refuse that fear. Say, Lord, I'm coming near. I'm drawing near. I'm not afraid of you. Devil, you're a liar. I know who my Father is, and I'm going to come in and receive the freedom that He's given to me and purchased just for me. Now let boldness arise, I say, says the Lord. Let your boldness arise and defeat that enemy. Oh, Rebre Hisuka Braanzunzinde, what has been, I decree and declare, is not what shall be. Oh, the grace of God has come your way today to remove that mountain out of the way. Ha ha ha. Woo! What a good Father we have. Hallelujah. Rokotede. Continue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray for everybody, anybody here that's watching, all of us, Lord, to receive grace, to continue to move forward, to understand who our Father is. I know it seems very simple, but Lord, sometimes the simplicity of who you are bypasses us. We forget. Lord, as you didn't make it so difficult, you want us to understand how much you love us. Those that are watching today, I release the love of the Father, the grace of God, the healing power of Him to the emotion, the stabilizing security in who God is. Oh, you can trust Him. He believes in you. In Jesus' name, we release grace to you. Receive it. If you're there watching, all that are in the sound of my voice, receive grace. There it is. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Just reach up and take it. It's already in there, but just receive it. Hallelujah. Let it rise up strong on the inside of you. Grace to pray. Grace to confess the Word of God. Grace to walk with Him. Grace to make the change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.